San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio. Good evening. Welcome to It's Your Money and Your Life. I am your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out down to Cabo, out to the desert, Riverside, all over Southern California. You can hear us with the 760 KFMB app if you've got a smartphone or a computer, and also say 760kfmb.com if you want to stream live or hear the podcast later, or on our website, iymoney.com. Anyway, time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author. He's a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. All-around good guy, and his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, how are you tonight?
I'm marvelous, Joe. I've got to get to bed early tonight because I'm running the Carlsbad 5,000 tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
I go out at 7 a.m. with all the old guys.
5,000 as in 5,000 what?
You know, it's a 5K.
5K.
Yeah. So, you know, 3.1 mile.
Wow.
Just a little sprint.
That's an elite race, isn't it? There's a lot
it
of
is
top,
an elite race.
Top runners from all over the country come to that, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So who are the big favorites?
I don't even know who's running this year.
Okay. But I mean, I know that's...
I know I'm not.
That's a big deal. I got to apologize. I was a little amped up last week after the big Aztec win. So I was listening to the show over again, and I was, you know, just a little bit too antsy, I thought. But a little more subdued this week. They did play, a great season. They played a great game against Arizona. They just, I guess they...
They just can't shoot.
Well, do you think that was a goaltending call at the end there? I thought we got robbed, but, you know, it happens.
Not like Tennessee got robbed.
Yeah. Yeah, some of these calls are really dubious. I you know, in the last minute, the ref should really be absolutely sure that of the calls, I would think. But it works both ways, right? It works for you and against you sometimes, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah. Who do you like in this thing?
I picked Florida to win it all, but I'm not doing that well in my pool.
Well, nobody is. No one's winning the billion, are they?
Nobody's winning the billion. How could they?
They were wiped out, I think, after the second round.
You didn't pick that Dayton Stanford matchup, Joe?
What was that team from Hawaii 1 year?
Hawaii Hilo Chaminade.
Beat
University of Virginia with Ralph Sampson. That wasn't in the tournament, though. That was in the preseason.
I know, but who even heard of I don't even know what a Chaminade is. But anyway, good luck to them. So, but anyway, Aztecs rebuilding year. They should have a pretty good year next year, right?
Great recruiting class.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully they got some guys who can shoot.
Yeah. Hey, some exciting news regarding the world of tennis in San Diego. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, World Team Tennis, our good friends, Rosie Cruz and Billie Jean King with the World Team Tennis. They facilitated a sale of the New York franchise to Russell Geiser here in San Diego. So we've got World Team Tennis coming to town in July. The Bryan brothers are going to be the doubles team.
Right. In the, is it the Valley View Casino Sports Arena?
It's the Sports Arena, Joe.
A Sports Arena. Okay, yeah. We'll just call it the Sports Arena.
Everybody thinks of, you know, gaming casinos when you say Valley View.
Yeah, but anyway.
That's the name, yeah, but it's the old Sports Arena. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's that building, that beautiful building down at Sports
Arena. And if those guys are kind enough to be sponsors of the show, we'll talk about it.
Yes.
Because that would be fun to talk about for the next 3 months.
But anyway, the San Diego Chicken's going to be at the first match, I guess, July 7th, and Andy Roddick is going to be here, I guess, from one of the opposing teams, and so they've got Martina Hingis is in this league. They got, you know, a lot of cool players. So
it's fun because it's team tennis,
and of course we're going to have the best doubles, the men's doubles team in the whole league by the Bryan brothers, right?
Best men's doubles team in the history of tennis.
Yeah. And they want people to scream and yell and have fun, so it's not like U.S. Open or Wimbledon, right?
Yeah, or a Padre game.
Yeah. Well, let's hope the Padres. Hey, the season opens tomorrow. That's great.
We're in second place. We haven't even played yet.
Yeah. Is there a game tonight? Because
no, the Padres open tomorrow. There might be some games tonight. I don't know.
Yeah. So tomorrow night, and they play the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, and Kershaw hurt his back, so he's not pitching.
Yeah, that's a good thing. God, we've got an important guest towards the show for it.
Anyway, I've just admitted in public that I'm doing something illegal. I'm running a basketball pool, and we have a candidate for district attorney sitting right here in the room.
Yes, we do.
But he hasn't been appointed yet or elected yet.
Right.
so I don't have to worry about anything.
Well, let's bring him on. He's a district attorney candidate. His name is Robert Brewer. We can call him Bob. We can call you Bob, right, Bob?
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here. So why don't you tell us a little bit about born and raised and educated, and then we'll get into the whole election scheme of things.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate being here. I was born in Hartford, Connecticut, raised in Ithaca, New York. Went to St. Lawrence University, farther upstate New York, mm-hmm. graduated in 1968, was commissioned a second lieutenant in the United States Army Infantry Branch, went to Fort Benning, Georgia, went through Airborne School, Ranger School, then went to Germany, was a company commander for a year, and then went to Vietnam for 13 months. I was with the Vietnamese Airborne Division as an advisor and with an organization called MAC-SOG. Came back, did another year at Fort Leonard Wood, and then came to San Diego, for law school. Was in law school from 72 to 75 at the University of San Diego.
See, we only bring on USD people here, Joe.
Go Toreros.
This exactly. is USD night here. That's this is right. great.
Graduated in 75 and then went up to Los Angeles, was a deputy district attorney for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Then went across the street, was an assistant U.S. attorney for 4.5 years. Mm. Came back to San Diego in 1982, been here ever since, practicing law. Been a lawyer for 39 years.
Outstanding. Now, when you were in L.A., we were talking at the break about having an appearance on 60 Minutes of Mike Wallace. So would you like to tell us a little bit about that? That sounded pretty cool.
It was. The last case I tried as an assistant U.S. attorney, I tried an espionage case against an individual by the name of Marion Zaharsky. Mm. And Marion Zaharsky was a deeply embedded KGB spy who was able to finesse from a scientist at Hughes Aircraft Company the precursor secrets to the stealth bomber. At that time, it was called the Quiet Radar. We were able to arrest Mr. Bell, who was the scientist, and he pled guilty and testified against Mr. Zaharsky. The trial lasted 5 weeks. And after the trial, we were told that 60 Minutes wanted to do a show on it. And I was interviewed for 3 hours with Mike Wallace, which I would not recommend.
3 minutes is rough. Did he come up to your office to do the interview?
Or? He did. He
wow,
did.
Very cool.
And it's on my website, yeah, the entire the entire episode.
Well, I'm going to check that out. So yes. So I take it Marion is a male.
Marion Zaharsky, yes. And he was sentenced to life in prison.
Whoa.
And 3 years later, we traded him for 23 of our spies.
Oh, wow.
Huh. So they really wanted him back.
Right.
Wow.
And he went back to a hero's welcome, and we got 23 of our people.
Well,
back.
I like those odds there, Richard.
For 23 for one. You don't see that kind of trade in baseball. But anyway.
They really wanted him back.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Well, we must have wanted some of our guys back, too. I guess this, you know.
That's right.
Look, spying goes on out there in these days. And with all the high-tech things, you know, going on in the world.
Well, and this happened in 81. And in 81, of course, we were in the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
So espionage was a very critical situation.
Now we just got a little chill. It's not real cold, but
not like it was. But Bob, let's talk about what you're doing. You're actually running for district attorney,
correct?
Which normally there's not two people running for that position.
Yeah. What made you decide to run?
Well, many reasons. One, I think it's definitely time for a change at the district attorney at the leadership of that office. Number two, a love of public service. I started my career in public service, both in the Army and then as a prosecutor for 7 years. Mm-hmm. My wife has been a judge for 29 years and was an assistant U.S. attorney before that. So we have public service in our family, and I very much would like to end my career in public service. And I think I'm uniquely qualified for the job.
I see you have Vince Bartolotta endorsing you, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, nice guy. Know him well.
Great guy.
He's a legendary in the field of law in this town here, like as is Brian Monahan, who was on the show earlier.
He was also endorsing me.
Really? That's terrific.
Yes.
That's terrific.
Brian was on late last year.
Yeah, we had him on in December.
Yeah.
So you and Bonnie are both Republicans. Is anybody else running in this thing? Or?
No. I'm not a Republican.
Oh, you're not?
I am DTS.
Okay.
Decline to state.
Oh, okay.
It's a nonpartisan office.
Oh, okay.
And I believe it should be held by a nonpartisan person.
Okay.
And there is one other person running. There are a total of three of us, a retired deputy district attorney by the name of Terry Wyatt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't even know about that.
Yes.
But anyway, time for a change. So what's been going wrong in the DA's office that requires a change? What's the beef?
The slogan of my campaign, which really says it all, is public safety without politics. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the present district attorney made a very large error in judgment when 70 days after she was sworn in to her third term, she announced she was running for mayor. and that was 70 days after she took an oath to be the district attorney. And then she spent the next 17 months running for mayor as the sitting district attorney. And that creates layers of conflicts of interest because one of the most important responsibilities of the district attorney is public integrity, public corruption, to make sure the politicians are doing their job. And she became a politician when she ran for mayor and spent a significant amount of time doing that. And there are collateral consequences to that, and we're seeing that today.
Yeah. Did any cases get neglected or go sideways as a result of her not being focused because of the campaigning?
Well, I can't cite specific cases because the line deputy district attorneys are very, very dedicated people. But I can point to one area where I think she should have spent a lot more time when instead of running for mayor, and that's when AB 109, which is the realignment law, that was introduced in February of 2011. She announced she was running in March of 2011. And then that was argued and debated up in Sacramento for the next 7 months. And during that entire time, when one of the largest pieces of legislation in California history, AB 109, as if you're familiar with it, the realignment, putting 30,000 prisoners from the state prisons back into the county jail system. Well, when that was being debated, that's where the DA should have been, is arguing for against that and for more training and more money and spending much more focused time on what I consider to be a piece of legislation that severely impacted public safety.
I mean, prisons are overcrowded. Didn't they release a bunch of prisoners recently because of just of the overcrowding issue alone?
Well, 30,000 prisoners were realigned back into the county jail system. And it's caused a significant problems. And I believe as a district attorney, when that type of legislation is being debated, you've got to be up in Sacramento. You've got to be arguing against it. You've got to be asking for more money. You've got to be asking for delays. You have to be training the police, the probation officers, getting ready for that type of legislation. And instead, she was running for mayor.
Gotcha. Anyway, let's take a little break right now. We'll come right back with more of It's Your Money Life with County DA candidate Bob Brewer right after this.
Here's a good one.
If we had a real president, this...
Oh. It's Your Money and Your Life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with Special County DA candidate Robert Brewer. And where'd we leave off, Richard? We wanted to find out why 21 of 22 law enforcement agencies.
Yeah, well, I was invited to an event that Mr. Brewer hosted, and I was just doing some research, and I noticed that virtually every, I think there's 21 or 22 separate and distinct law enforcement agencies. A lot of which I had never heard of, and virtually everyone is endorsing Mr. Brewer. And I thought that was really interesting because I've got a couple of friends who are deputy DAs, and sometimes they sort of cry on my shoulder and say they don't feel supported as maybe as much as they could be. So I just found it really interesting that you've gotten such great feedback from law enforcement. What's behind all of that, Bob?
Well, I started talking to law enforcement early in the decision-making process to run for district attorney, and I found out that in 2006, when Ms. Dumanis was running for her second term, all 22 police agencies that you just mentioned all unanimously endorsed her. And then if you go 4 years to 2010, all 22 agencies unanimously refused to endorse her, even though she was running against no one.
And what caused that turnaround, do you
think? Well, one of the things that in speaking with the police and why they have endorsed me is because of that first, the second part of my slogan, without politics. They clearly understand the district attorney's responsibility on public integrity. And when you become political, they know and they understand you're not going to be able to prosecute your friends. And when you start endorsing a bunch of people as a district attorney, and when I say without politics, when I am the district attorney, I will endorse no one at any time for anything. And because she ran for mayor and because she endorsed Mr. DeMaio, the entire office was disqualified from investigating Mr. Filner. That's the example of why you have layers of conflicts and you shouldn't run for another office if you're the district attorney. But getting back to the police and your question, Richard, in sitting down with the police and listening to them, they wanted a dedicated, committed prosecutor. And one of the questions they all asked me was, are you going to run for another office? And they were very upset when Ms. Dumanis ran for mayor. And they sensed it was going to happen in 2010, and that's why they didn't endorse her. And they tried to send a message, stop being so political. And then 70 days after she was sworn in, she runs for mayor. Now, what I'm going to do as a district attorney is, one of the other things that the police asked me is, are we going to see you every 4 years when you want an endorsement, or are you going to come back and see us in a year and ask us how we can improve and how you can improve? And I committed to that kind of communication and leadership. And so they want that committed leadership, and I'm going to give that to them, and I'm going to come back and speak to these different associations and have a conversation and communication and leadership. And that's what they want.
But let me ask you even a more pointed question, because it gets down to the man or the woman on the street who's serving our community as part of law enforcement. I'm pretty familiar with a number of law enforcement agencies because, for example, one of my large charity events that we run at Thanksgiving every year, where we have 16,000 people out, you know, in the community through my foundation, we have obviously a lot of security there. And so I know a lot of folks, both in leadership as well as just, you know, boots on the ground. I know some of my friends and associates, for example, in police departments or in the Sheriff's Association. They sometimes feel unsupported when they have to go to court, for example, mm-hmm. to testify, because they feel that they don't necessarily get any feedback or support about how they're doing, can they do better, how to improve upon things so that they can help make the community safer. What are you going to do for, just say, the average man or woman who's out patrolling a neighborhood, driving a car, trying to keep the community safe?
Well, that's a great question. In preparation for this job, I have been riding with the police on ride-along 17 times with 12 different agencies. And I ask each one of the police officers I'm with, and I spend 4 or 5, 6 hours with them, I ask them, when was the last time you testified in court? What was the result of the case? And did you get any feedback on how you did? And in 16 of the 17 times, every single police officer said they never got any feedback on what happened to the case. They didn't know if the case was won or lost, and they had no critique of how they did. Now, that is going to change when I'm the district attorney. I am going to mandate to every deputy district attorney that you communicate with that police officer. You tell them what happened to the case. They had more invested in that case because they were on the street and made the arrest. Tell them what happened to the case and tell them how they did, because they want to get better. They want to testify. They want to learn how to do better, and you've got to give them that feedback. And that's how I'm going to help that police officer on the street. Because in riding along with these officers, and I have great respect for what they do, they have a very difficult job. And we are very lucky in this county to have the caliber of police officer that we have. And I've learned that from these 17 ride-alongs. But I've also learned that they truly crave feedback. And certainly when they go into the courtroom and leave, they deserve feedback.
Now, just for clarification, you mostly deal with the sheriffs, right? The county sheriffs?
Absolutely not. No, the district attorney is countywide.
Everybody, all law enforcement?
All 22 of those agencies bring their cases to the district attorney.
SDPD, everybody, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Every single felony that's filed in the county of San Diego is filed by a deputy district attorney.
Gotcha.
And there were 16,700 filed last year.
Gotcha.
And that results in hundreds of contacts every day. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not just sheriff. It's Carlsbad, Coronado, Chula Vista, Oceanside, all the different police departments in the county.
And Bob, how about officer safety? I know I've heard rumors about officers who've been injured on the job. That is to say, somebody's beat them up, broken an arm, whatever the case may be, and the offender typically, I don't want to say typically, but in many cases, isn't prosecuted. Is that true?
Yes, that is, unfortunately. And one of the things I'm going to do as district attorney is start a special unit called CAPO, or Crimes Against Peace Officers. And we are going to have dedicated, experienced deputy district attorneys who are going to make sure that our police officers are protected. And when they're assaulted and battered, we're going to make sure that those cases are filed and followed through on.
Gotcha. Do we have a high percentage being followed through on now or not? Do you know the number?
Hard to tell, but I know from talking with the police officers that they write in their reports when they're hit, scratched, kicked, whatever, and very infrequently do they receive any feedback on that filing.
And have you been endorsed by any law enforcement agencies outside of San Diego County?
Yes, I have. I've been endorsed by LAPD, believe it or not. And the reason they did was because they remembered when I was a deputy district attorney up there. There are actually some gray hairs that remembered me from 30 years ago. And they wanted to help me. I've been endorsed by statewide organizations. I've been endorsed by PORAC, which stands for Police Officers Research Association, which represents 64,000 police officers across the whole state. I've been endorsed by the state Probation Officers Association. I've been endorsed by the Probation Officers Association here in the county. I've been endorsed by the California Highway Patrol. I've also been endorsed by the City Attorneys Association, and I've also been endorsed by four former United States attorneys in San Diego.
Now, the new police chief's a woman, and obviously there's been a little turmoil going on in the department, and I guess there's an audit, an ongoing audit. What's your take on it? You get along well with the new police chief?
Well, I've seen Chief Zimmerman on many occasions at many different functions, and she's a terrific lady, mm-hmm. and I have great respect for her. Mm-hmm. I think we're very lucky to have her. Mm-hmm. She's incredibly hardworking, very dedicated, and I look forward to working with her.
Yeah.
And this audit, this federal audit that's going to be taking place, everybody seems to be in agreement that it's something that's needed, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a good review of what's going mm-hmm. on in San Diego PD and what can be improved, if anything.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You get a bad apple in every company, every entity. It's just the police, we hold them to such a high standard. And, you know, when you do get a Craig Pye or somebody doing something, criminal, it just casts a negative light on everybody. And that's not true. You know, it's unfair because, all the police I run into, they come into Lestat's all the time, and they're just thoroughly decent people doing a difficult job.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. The people I rode with, and then not only do you ride with them, but when you're at a stop and you see the other cars coming back up, and all of them are just incredibly dedicated, yeah. and there's a brotherhood within the various departments, and it's very impressive.
Thank you. Bob, thank you so much.
Bob, thanks for coming in.
My
good,
pleasure.
Good luck in the campaign. Robert Brewer for DA.com, thank him for being on, and we'd like to thank Stefan Airstall, CEO of Tower Paddleballers, for being with us tonight. Next week, it's Michael Stone, founder of La Jolla Map and Atlas Museum in La Jolla. And gosh, I wish you could say go Aztecs, but not this year. But Richard, good
in
luck.
Baseball, go Aztecs.
Yes, and go Padres. And Richard, good luck in your race tomorrow. Carlsbad 5,000. And you have a good week. Justin Hart, thanks for making us sound good, our sound engineer. Thank you to Craig Blank, our con executive. And thank you to Dave Sniff, our programming genius at KFMB. Good night, everybody. You have a good week. We'll see you next week on It's Your Money and Your Life. Good night.